Well, joining me now on the phone is Illinois Senate Republican leader and senator from Lamont, Christine Redonio. Leader, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
We've been talking, obviously, about the issue of what didn't come out of Springfield last week, and, of course, the issue of how we can move forward here. And I do get the sense, and this is something I talked to Brandon Phelps, Representative Phelps, about, of the idea that the weight of not having schools open for many school districts in the fall, I don't know that any side wants to take any blame for that.
Well, I would agree with you. I think that the wrath of the voters would be even greater than it already is if that were to happen. So I think there's a lot of motivation to make sure that the schools do open.
But when you look at, you know, for example, the bill that came out of the Senate on Senate Democratic votes, a $900 million increase for elementary and secondary education, you know, here again, where's the money come from?
Well, exactly. And, you know, even to the most ardent supporters of education, and I certainly would count myself among them, you've got to have some reality in there. I mean, $900 million more dollars, no matter how much you support education, is pie in the sky when you're talking about not funding other basic human services, not being able to keep the lights on in the prison. Certainly a more modest increase in education funding, which the governor actually has proposed, makes a lot more sense.
I mean, it just, but also, how do you do this in a vacuum? I mean, and this is one of the things I've been wondering about with the concept of the working groups. You know, we've had various working groups looking at various items that are part of the governor's turnaround agenda. We have a budget working group, ostensibly, and I don't. To me, I just question how this can be done in isolation, because every vote is kind of a trade-off. You know, every issue is, well, I could go with you here, but I can't go with you there. For each individual lawmaker, and it seems to be very complicated to put that all together in one big piece.
Well, it is, and that's something we typically do with the budget, is put all the pieces together, and that really illustrates the priorities of the state when you have that final budget that actually funds various items. Now, having said that, it's always complicated. We always have a lot of balls in the air. This year is no exception, but it is possible, as we did last year, to isolate education funding, to fund that for the entire year so that school districts, parents, students especially, can continue with their learning without interruption and can have some stability and expectation that their schools will open. We did it last year. We can do it again this year.
But at what funding level? Is there a compromise level, perhaps, that can be found?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of room between what the governor's proposed and $900 million.
Yes, that's why I asked the question.
Yeah. So we haven't gotten back together to talk about what that level might be, but given the state of affairs right now, number one, I think school districts would be thrilled to have full funding of the foundation level. That's something they have not had in 20 years. So they would be thrilled to death to have that. And the knowledge that it will come, I think right now they don't really think it's realistic either that they're going to get an extra $900 million. So I think closer to the governor's level makes much more sense.
But how difficult is it, too, when you have the fact of, you know, obviously Chicago lawmakers, Chicago Democrats are going to be pushing for as much as they can to help the Chicago public schools, and you open that up, that issue up, and of course, you know what we've seen as far as the $1 billion school deficit. Barbara Bird Bennett doesn't help things. I mean, there will have to be some kind of accommodation for Chicago public schools, won't there?
Well, there may be, but I'll tell you, I think the people in the state, even a lot of folks in Chicago, realize the Chicago public schools have been grossly mismanaged for decades, and that has been 100% on the Democratic machine that runs both Chicago and the state. So people realize that, and while they may be willing to make some accommodation, there is no way that there's going to be a huge bailout for Chicago. I mean, they have just got to restructure, take responsibility for the problems that they've had, and they need to increase their local taxes. You know, Chicago's not had a referendum in over 80 years on schools. I don't know where else in the state we have that situation. So one of the items of discussion would allow Chicago to, again, increase their property taxes to pay for their schools the way that the rest of the state has.
But third rail of property taxes, right? I mean,
but it's Chicago, and quite frankly, they, although they feel that they're taxed heavily, the property tax on residential property in the city is very, very low. It's much lower than it is either in suburban Cook County or in the rest of the state. They are disproportionately low, and, you know, the rest of the state sees that. Now, Chicagoans may not see it, but it is the fact.
We're speaking with Christine Redonio, the Illinois Senate Republican leader from Lamont. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin.
It's
8:49 on this Sunday morning. I'm Rick Pearson, and this is the Sunday Spin. And we're speaking with Christine Redonio, the Republican leader of the Illinois Senate. She's a state senator from Lamont. Senator, I'm curious if there is that desire about at least achieving a budget for education, where does that leave us as far as the last proposal for this, even the short-term stopgap, get us past the election type budget?
Well, that's the second item that absolutely has to be done before the election. You know, the Democrats have made it crystal clear that they are unwilling to do any kind of major reform or long-term budget until after the election. That's the priority for them. So having said that, the governor has no choice but to say, okay, how do we keep the lights on? I mean, we are literally having a difficult time feeding the prisoners that we have, feeding the residents in our mental health institutions. So there's a lot of need for just the money for day-to-day operations. The governor has said, look, I'll set aside a long-term budget. I'll set aside the reforms. But we have to have what we're calling a stopgap budget, one that funds everything critical at minimal levels, and secondly, a school funding package. Those two items need to be addressed.
And where do you think that goes? I mean, is that something you think is achievable?
I do think it's achievable. What the Democrats don't want to do is to pass any reforms before the election. They don't want any votes on revenue or a tax increase before the election. So they want to put all that off. And the governor has said, if there is going to be any sort of tax increase whatsoever, it will not happen without reforms. And I totally agree with him. To do otherwise, to just raise taxes and continue the way we've done business in the state for one day longer would just be the wrong decision. So we're putting that discussion off until after November. So within the confines of the revenue that we have available, we need to do some basic funding of state services. And I think everyone does agree with that. At least I know the Senate president does, Leader Durkin does, the governor does, and I would agree with that as well.
You left out somebody there.
Well, I did, and only because I read a comment that he made that he did not want to address anything other than the fiscal year 16, which ends July 1st. That's just 3 weeks from now. We need more than that. We cannot string the state along with uncertainty all through the fall. That's just not fair.
We're talking about Speaker Madigan is the name that you left off the list. And I mean, I do think on both sides, and even Brandon Phelps mentioned this, is there's just a complete lack of trust of, and a question of sincerity here.
By rank and file, I'm not sure who he was referring to.
Well, just each side. There's no trust between Democrats or Republicans or the administration. I refer to it as a question of sincerity. How sincere are the various parties willing to work to try to reach an agreement?
Well, again, there's one individual I would leave out for sure, and that would be the Speaker. The Senate President talks a good game about wanting to get this stuff done, but until the end of session, he pretty well fell in line with the Speaker. So I'm hoping that the fact he would not pass the Speaker's $7 billion out-of-balance budget was a good sign that he understands the need to do some resetting here.
One of the other questions I have, though, is as amid this effort to try to reach compromise, when the governor goes out on the stump right after the scheduled end of session, and it becomes the ads being run against targeted Democrats. He's criticizing Democrats for being too loyal to their leaders. How does that help forge compromise?
Well, I view it as sort of a separate track entirely. I mean, let's face it, politics in this state is rough and tumble. It always has been. And there's the political side of things, the public statements, the public theater, and that always goes on. But on a separate track is the policy track, and that has always gone on as well. And you cannot use the public political theater as an excuse not to come to the table. That's just nonsense. If you're that sensitive and thin-skinned, then you ought not be in this business.
One thing I was curious about, too, is the fact, you know, given how tensions were very high in the State House on that Tuesday night, just whether having a break wasn't a bad idea for everybody to get away from each other for a little bit.
Oh, I think it was. I mean, yeah, people have been away from home all of May. There's a lot of rhetoric, a lot of effort trying to pull things together, a lot of disappointment and frustration. So I think in some ways it is good for people to get away, to regroup, to go home and listen to their constituents. Interestingly, I had a kids' fair yesterday along with Representative Durkin and Sandek, and I was fascinated by the comments that people came up to me and said, keep up the good fight, you know, keep working at it. We can't keep going the same as we have. So it sort of gives me a renewed sense of purpose in getting down there and getting these problems taken care of.
A renewed resolve.
Exactly.
And so do you know what the status is? When are we going to see the budgeteers, as it might be? Or when are they going to get together and start working on that aspect?
Well, that piece of it continues to go along. I mean, they will be meeting next week. The House has announced a schedule. The Senate has not yet announced one. But again, that separate track of trying to resolve the problems continues.
That's State Senator Christine Redonio, the Republican leader of the Illinois Senate from Lamont. Leader Redonio, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me.
We'll be back with more right after this.